Now, did everybody get one called a Survey of Genesis at the top? Anybody got one of these? This is the question that we were covering last week. Good morning, by the way. Rushing in today. Kind of in a huff and rush this morning. It's good to be with you. I appreciate the opportunity, as always, to come over here and speak on these things. I get the most out of it because I have to study the scriptures a little closer before I get up here in front of you, so I'm appreciating that opportunity. Some things that I thought I knew was Genesis, and somebody said, what part of the Bible you know pretty well is Genesis. Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. Okay. Will you handle that for us? Let's go ahead and start with the prayer.
First of all, thank you for thank you for the opportunity we have to come out and study another portion of the man who I want to thank you for your son, King Jesus, and the ultimate sacrifice you made on our behalf. Continue to bless us, Lord, and keep us in your care. You give us love in the sins and shortcomings. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our teaching would stand before us, please give my real recollection of the things he has prepared in our lives. We pray, Heavenly Father, for your listeners, attention faith, and learn more perfectly your will and your way. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you do for us all. This is my prayer we ask with all in King Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for the reminder, too. I definitely need a reminder. My wife is constantly reminding me. Okay. That handout for that, the Survey of Genesis, how many pages do you have there to make sure we're ready?
100.
Should have 5. Okay. All right. Is Brian here today? Brian? Good. I won't embarrass him then, but that was a great, my estimation, a great sermon. Last Sunday, I've never heard a better sermon on the armor of God. And I'll tell you, that weighed on my mind all week. And I kind of, especially when I was studying about Isaac, and I'm studying a little bit ahead of where we're at, but hopefully I should stay ahead of the class, I guess. And I was studying about that, and I kept some things that Brian said kept coming to my mind, and so I just wanted to let y'all know. I don't necessarily embarrass him. Okay. Preliminaries. Okay. I wanted to write some things on the board before we start. Actually, we're finishing up Abraham and Sarah today. Hopefully, maybe not, because we got back down last week. We talked too much. But we'll try to get to Abraham and Sarah so we can get to talking about Isaac and Rebecca. And I wanted to start our thoughts off kind of like we did before, talking about the Word of God and what we're doing every time we come together for to study and get a little closer to the Scriptures and think about some things. What do you think? When we're studying the Bible, and we're all in the book of Romans telling us the things written before time were written for our learning, we through the patience and the hope of the Scriptures, we'll have hope. That's exactly right. But in Romans, it talks about us learning what was written before time. It's not just us, it's the people of those times the writer of the book of Romans is talking about, it, Paul. It was for those people in that time, it's for people in our time too. And so we should be doing, getting something out of everyone, every study that we have. First things we may be getting out are facts. Facts. I feel like facts. The next thing we get out, and you may want to add some things to this, okay? If we get some people's thoughts, what they're thinking, sometimes we see that in the scriptures. Now, these facts and these thoughts can be approved or unapproved. Good things or bad things, if you will. But we're still learning from them, aren't we? And then there's actions that take place. And then there's, after this, I put grace. G-R-A-C-E is revealed. And then faith that comes. Faith comes from where? F-A-I-T-H. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of God. Faith comes from hearing. And so when we're hearing, we hear about these facts, these thoughts, these actions, and we might ought to put the thoughts, or maybe hear it, attitudes, thoughts and attitudes that people have as we're reading about them. They all go together to make up the story, so that we will may have faith. Through what we learn, we'll have the hope with the lives of them. Hope is another thing we put here as part of faith, maybe. Okay? But we don't study, and I talk about this every week, I think, we don't study just for facts. But the facts are necessary, aren't they? Yeah, we've got to know where we're talking about. Is Abraham in Mesopotamia at this point? Or is Abraham in the Promised Land at this point? Is he going to Egypt at this point? That's kind of facts thing. What happened before? We're talking about chronological order of what's happening in the Scriptures. That can be important. I mean, it is important all over, but sometimes we want to look through and say, did this happen before that? And then that made us more clarity. But still, we're talking about facts. And then we talk about thoughts and attitudes. Sometimes the Scriptures actually reveal he thought was in his heart or something along those lines. So the thoughts that the people were having, what motivated them to take the actions that they did, are revealed in the thoughts and attitudes that we see in the people. And then the actions particularly, these are definitely part of the facts. What did they do? How did they react based on circumstances, based on the grace that was given to them by God, and those sorts of things. So their actions are all intertwined in this too. The biggest thing we need to take account of is God's grace in all this. God was graceful to Abraham, wasn't he? Because we mentioned in our question, we'll cover here, he was from a family of idolaters, wasn't he? And we had some discussion last week about whether he was an idolater or not, and a place in Joshua that we'll look at in a minute kind of indicates that maybe he was at least a partial idolater. But guess what happened? This happened, didn't it? God reached down and said, Abraham. I don't know what he said to Abraham, but in effect he was telling Abraham, you're going to be the beginning of a great nation and a great promise, a plan of salvation that I have. So that was all grace on God's part. Abraham didn't do anything. He may have been a good moral man. I suspect he was. I suspect he's probably one of the best moral men in the nation of Mesopotamia. But Mesopotamia was a pretty tricky place. The land of the era of the Chaldeans. Okay, now, we talk about faith. It comes by hearing, okay. And that fact that we can even hear it is by grace. So there we have the tie-in of our faith. What is our faith and our hope based on? Is our faith, when we say our faith, it's a broad subject and it can get very confusing, but I think we've got to keep it in the right context and realize the function of faith. That faith is our belief in that God will do what He says He'll do. And that the Scriptures are dependable. That's our faith. And I think too many times, and I'll speak to myself, I know me more than I know anybody else, so I often use personal examples. It doesn't bother anybody. But I'm sometimes thinking, okay, I got to have faith. I got to make this happen. I need faith. Me. I got to do it. Faith is in what God says, right? Not what in Charlie said. I promise I'm going to do this. And the promise of the Lord, I'm promising, and I don't do it. Does that mean my faith is ruined forever and ever? Oh, I hope and pray not, because I'm going if it is. Faith is what God will do. Our belief, our hope, that God will do what He says He will do. And the book of Hebrews talks about it what we call the hallway of faith. Those who are the honor roll of faith or something along those lines in chapter of Hebrews. Well, they acted, though, didn't they? They acted. But they acted based on what God said was going to go, what was going to happen. So their actions were acting faith. And so their faith, still, you got to be careful not to say, well, now they're saved by their faith because they did it so well. No. That's dangerous, isn't it? Because we're saved by grace through our faith because we believe God, right? Anyway, what I wanted to get to that was just one little short story. I'll talk about personal story. Okay, it happened recently. And I'm going to reveal one of my flaws again. I think you already know that I used to smoke. I had a hard time with it. Thought it, and prayed about it. You know, after about 20 years, I woke up one morning and said, hey, I did it. No, about all those prayers that you did, but I didn't want a cigarette. And I don't question how it happened. I'm not saying it's a miracle. I'm just saying, maybe I prayed so much that my mind got tired of hearing me praying about it. No, I don't know. The Lord, how the Lord works, I don't know. But I didn't want a cigarette. Got to the point where I hated the smell of cigarettes. They make me sick in my stomach and headache now when I smell them. But if that's it's certainly a flaw, isn't it? But I've readily confessed that. Yesterday morning, more recently, I got up. I was on my way to 12 Baskets. We give food out on Saturday morning. And I was on my way. I was on the duty roster, if you will. And I was running late. So I'm running through the house. Hurry up, get me breakfast, brush my teeth. What all I had to do, you know? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, my trash needs to be taken out. Keith and his family are staying with us for about 6 months. And so I'm saying, I get the trash, I take it outside, and I start to put it in the trash can, and I flip open the recycle can, and there's trash in the recycle can. Come back in the house. I was not Isaac. I'll tell you, I was studying about Isaac, but I didn't act like Isaac when I got back in the house. And I called the family together, you know, and I was no uncertain terms, and I didn't say, Lord, be really nice and I've said it nice several times before this. This time I'm saying, I do not want to go through that garbage and pull out the recycles. You know, it gets garbage on my hands, you know. And I was very adamant about it. Well, I've got a forgiving family, thank the Lord. So I went on 12 Baskets and felt bad the whole time I was there. Came back home. I called them all back in again. And I said, you know what? I want to call y'all together and tell you what a great family. You could forgive somebody actually. I think part of my reason for wanting to do that was what I had read about Isaac was actually weighing on my mind. I said, there was a patriarch. There was a man who was up there acting God's own heart like a David did. And you know what? I started to skip 2 weeks ago or so. I'm thinking, don't have a whole lot of time to cover the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll just spend a real quick time on Isaac, and we'll go on to Jacob, and we'll get through it in plenty of time to spare. And then I got to reading about Isaac, and I said, whoa, put the brakes on. Too much here to go too quickly. We're going to see that if you say it. We may not even get to Isaac, especially if I keep talking, but we're going to get to him next week. And I've got the handout. Did you see the handout that I gave you there? The third page is the first page of next week's handout, and I've asked Russ, if you will, we've got those 7 pages in there. You can use it or not use it. We're blessed in this day and age because we can look at things on the internet, but you got to be careful. There's some drawbacks, right? You got to watch it, what you're searching for. This is from the handout that Russell will make for you if you want it. You don't have to take it if you don't want to. Is some things about Isaac and Rebecca. And it's at that website. Do you see that? Does everybody see that website listed on that third page? The third page, and I know you've got a whole lot of handouts. How many third pages are you talking about, Charlie? on the other handout, this one right here. I'm sorry. I shifted on you. Yeah. That page, there's what's called a URL there. If you want to go to the site, to the site itself and look at that handout, it's fine. Otherwise, Russell, he would get some copies made of that full handout. There's 7 pages. You only got 1 page here. We may not get to that 1 page. Okay. Everybody with me? Ah, you sure? Good morning. Come in. So, without any further ado, let's start into these questions. We'll start into these questions on today's lesson, survey of Genesis. We've got to cover it up. You know, I can't make it disappear. Where was Abraham born and raised? Ur of the Chaldees. Okay, look at me. You can't look for the rest of the question. In his lifetime, was Abram ever an idolater? And of course, you can look at the question. I'm kidding you. Yes. We read last week, we read Joshua 24, verses 1 through 3, and had some discussions about that. He definitely lived in an idolatrous place. His family had to have influenced him. His dad, it appears from the scriptures, was an idolater to the day he passed away. Here, at least to some degree. Maybe he was to some degree following after God. But you've got to remember the state of ignorance that Terah and his family was in. So any step toward the true living God would be a wonderful thing. So I'm not passing judgment on Terah. I'm saying, though, that there is evidence that he still was an idolater. He was still an idolater up until the day he passed away. Challenge me on that if that's not true. If you find a place where Terah was completely faithful. Now, he had children who were faithful to God, didn't he? Particularly Abraham. So there had to be a lot of teaching in the family. How old was Abram when he departed Ur? 75. Let's put the scriptures on most of these. Okay. Place of the first altar Abram built in the promised land. Where was it?
Bethel.
Now, Bethel, we're going to hear about Bethel over and over. Throughout the rest of the book of Genesis and other places in the scripture too. Bethel, what was the next question? What is the Hebrew meaning of the word Bethel?
Bethel?
Okay, house of God. House, El, being the terms used for God in those kinds of words. Bethel. So Bethel, house of God. A situation that led Abraham to travel to Egypt. Famine. When the wealthy Abram returns to Canaan, where was the first place of worship? Bethel again. I told you he was going to come back to it. When it became clear that Lot's herdsmen were stubborn, Abram forced Lot to move to Sodom. He gave his choice, didn't he? Okay. Abraham moved from Bethel to Hebron and built a new altar at some point. It's maybe it didn't happen the next day. But Abram moved to Bethel, from Bethel, rather, Hebron, and built a new altar. Now, Hebron becomes very important. Why is Hebron so important? He lived there a long time, and what did he do? He bought some land there, didn't he? He bought a cave. Okay? That's true. Okay, next question or comment sometime. Lot, taken prisoner by people from Mesopotamia, was rescued by a king named... Chedorlaomer. That's how I pronounce it. Chedorlaomer. Is that true or false?
False.
Yeah. Lot was rescued by Abraham, not from Abraham. He said, Lot was rescued by Abraham. Okay, that's a typo. Next question. During his return to Canaan, the king of Salem brought bread and wine and blessed Abraham. What was his name? What was the king of Salem? Melchizedek. Okay, lots of study on Melchizedek. But there was deity involved in that. So that's true. King of Salem blessed Abraham. But Abram, at this point still called Abram, gave a tenth of the spoils of war back to the king of Sodom. True or false? False. What did he do? He gave a tenth. No, yes. Okay. You're probably right. That's something I didn't know. I put my finger needed to write down. I didn't know that's in the scripture. But I think it is. I haven't recalled Kent in the scripture. What's one?
The mountain.
Russ had a good lesson on this a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? On the tent. And it's a good thing to think, I think, if you can possibly do it and at least maneuver your finances to the point where you can give at least 10%. Well, that's up to the front of the church and the Lord. Okay, we're down to, I didn't number these, would have been helpful, wouldn't it? When he returned from rescuing Lot, Abraham married Hagar, and Sarah protested. We had a couple of comments on that last week. It's false. She advised him to marry Hagar, and then the question came up, well, didn't they marry? Well, maybe. I mean, I don't know the situation with the concubine, whether you consider her married or not. They definitely acted. Wife? Well, I suspect it does. I got wrapped around the axle on this last week, so that's why I brought that up. So that's a good point. Okay, somebody take notes on these, please. Later, Sarah became angry at Hagar and sent her away into the desert. That's true. Who came to Hagar and Ishmael's rescue? He's a little lower. Ishmael was going to die, and Hagar was going to walk away so she didn't have to watch. The angel of the Lord. How old was Abraham when Ishmael was born? Now, facts. This is facts. 86. Age of Abraham when God changed his name. 99. Please, now these are my questions, so if I say something wrong, call me on it, if it's something minor, ask a question. Middle class. Oh, he was 110. Okay. No, that's okay. Okay, he was 99. According to the Lord, every Hebrew male was to be circumcised when he was 8 years old. Now, thank you. I bet you just sweet. You're running over a test real quickly and you see that. Oh, there's eight. 8 days old. 8 days old. Yeah. Okay, God changed Sarai's name to Sarah, and 100-year-old Abraham fell on his face and laughed. That's true.
Yeah.
That's the scripture for it. So a few weeks ago I said, Sarah was the one that laughed, and I didn't recall this word. But they both laughed. Does the Bible confirm that 90-year-old Sarah confessed to the Lord that she laughed?
No.
What did she do?
She laughed.
She denied it, didn't she? Angel of the Lord. Or she should have known she'd get found out, right? But the Lord said no, but she did laugh. Okay, the Lord told Abraham he would destroy Sodom. True. But Abraham was happy to hear that the wicked people of Sodom would finally be punished. False. He loved the lost, didn't he? Which is sometimes hard for me to do. Sometimes I do. Oh. And Jesus says, love your enemies. Hate those that, and love those that disciple you. And so when you talk about somebody, and let's go to the really, really extreme now, somebody who would blow us up in an airplane or anything. That's our enemy, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're supposed to love them. God calls on us for great things as Christians. We need to humble ourselves. And say, okay, we don't have to give them aid and comfort, and we don't have to be for them in their crazy. We still need to love them. Abraham loved the lost of Sodom.
Yeah.
He went to God and said, let me go save some of them. There's got to be kin in there. Finally, he said, okay.
Oh, yeah, you just said, yeah. One of the things that I
well, that was definitely a picture of what we should be doing. And that's the Lord. That's a preview of what the Lord's going to say later on in the gospel, isn't it, about loving your enemies. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes.
How is God
just
the
I think it can be that. I love my wife, and sometimes I don't treat her like I should.
No, I'm talking about someone that you know that you can say, somebody that you know that you can say, Chad has done some good amount of it.
Yeah. I think we got good examples of that. They parted ways. We have the same example of Paul and Paul. Who was the other one? Paul walked away. This is the same example of brain quill. But anyway, Paul walked away from Peter, wasn't he? Did he got out of the way? Who? Barnabas? No. Okay, that's a Bible study question for me. Homework. Yes. But he did. He set the example. We walk away. We should walk away if that's the only thing we can do. If we can't run up and hug the person and try to get things right with them, then walk away from them. I think so. I think we have an example. I think there's judgment involved. Definitely, I think the Lord expects us to be judged. Have to use our judgment.
I think you should walk away from a situation like this. But the Bible teaches us also to pray for those that hurt us.
Yeah.
So through your prayers, you show your love for them.
Mm-hmm. And there's time that's involved in this too. Who knows? If you continue to pray for them, the Lord may open the door that you can get things straight.
And if they come to you, then you need to be ready to accept. You know.
Okay, good thoughts. Good thoughts. Let's see. Now, where are we at? You see, I think it's good that the Lord can do anything. You know, we say spiritual beings can't do this. Well, the Lord can do anything with any kind of being He wants to. In this case, He was wanting to show in the noble mind of the Lord. But the custom in that part of the country, when you eat with someone, you were on the same seat of meat. You understand that? Right, I think it's referring to very interesting. And it was, okay. Where are we? Okay. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? 100 years old. Sarah became angry at Ishmael when he scoffed at Isaac. She directed Abraham to cast out Hagar. True. The Lord directed Abraham to listen to Sarah's command to cast out Hagar and Ishmael. It's true. There's the passage for it. You look it for yourself. I had a point on this. I don't know if I put that in here, but there's a point. There's going to be two nations that come into being. At some point, they're going to have to go away. Right? Ishmael can't sit there, but in the same area, be the same nation. You've got to go be your own nation. The reading is that there's a multitude of them. I guess if we can deduct from the scriptures there that the children of Abraham are going to be much more than that.
The thing was that the blessing came through Sarah and Abraham.
And not Hagar. We got that in Galatians. We got that reiterated to us in the book of Galatians. Okay. Let's see. Is there? This is just came to my mind out of the blue. Is there border establishment significance to the promises made at Beersheba between the Philistine king and Abraham? You know, that place that they were at Beersheba. Beer is the word bear comes from the word whale. Beer is named after whale. Not whale is not named after beer. Okay. So bear means in both, well, in Arabic also, in Hebrew means bear means well. So well, bear, of the promise, Beersheba, bear of the promise, and also it's the bear of the well of the seven is called in another place. So that, there's something in that that would be worth studying. Beersheba. Okay. So that, and anything south of Beersheba tend to be desert. Negev. Okay, the Negev is there. And so that is, it seems to me, a border establishment. Okay, possibly since the southern border of the ancient Israel ran at this parallel. Okay, I already got that in there. What was the name of the mountain where Isaac was to be sacrificed in? Where was it located? Mount Moriah. Where is it located? It's in Jerusalem. That's where their big argument going on with the Muslims about what happened in there. And, of course, they all say that Ishmael and was all involved in that, but we know what the scriptures say. Mount Moriah. What stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac? When the Lord called out, do not lay your hand on the lad. Yeah. But I wonder, though, you've got to put yourself in Abraham's place. He knows that God is going to keep his promise, but his faith is so strong. Was he afraid? I mean, his hand had to be shaking. I don't know. He was a human being. And Isaac, we're going to talk about Isaac here and his thoughts on that situation. Okay. The angel of the Lord called out. Do not lay your hand on the Lord. Okay. The angel of the Lord indicated that a blood sacrifice was not necessary. Oh, far from it. The ram was provided. But God provided. You return to Jehovah Jireh. Comes from there. The Lord will provide. What was Abraham's line of reasoning that allowed him to kill his own son if necessary?
God had promised him that he would receive the nations.
He believed the promise of God.
And he believed the promise God made him.
It was going to be through Isaac.
Mm-hmm. I mean, resurrect Isaac again, or he knew there had to be something
That God had to be in control. Sometimes it's hard for us to remember that God had to be in control. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, because God provided sacrificial lamb, God will provide. Okay, true. At this point, God made changes to his covenant with Abraham.
False.
He didn't change his covenant.
He reconfirmed it.
Okay. At this point, in Genesis 22:24, the names of Nahor and Milcah's children are inserted. What was the likely reason? And that's a conjecture on my part. I made it right up front. Because the next thing he's going to be talking about is Rebecca, who was listed in that passage. Okay? Sarah dies at age what? 127. Sarah was buried in a what? Cave near Hebron. In Genesis 24, what mission did Abraham give to his oldest servant? Yeah. I told Marcia yesterday, I should have read Isaac later on. I should have went ahead and went and took my son. No, I should. He said, shut up. He was 40 years old, too, at that time. So he was at home. This is the beauty about Isaac. I'm going to get into Isaac, so I'm not careful here. But the beauty of Isaac was he just followed after his parents, loved them, did what they wanted him to do, and he sat patiently and waited for Rebecca to pay it off. At age 40, I'm sure he was getting to wonder, but he paid off. Okay. What did the servant pray for to help him identify the correct wife for Isaac?
He prayed the right woman for him to come along.
Yes.
And offer him water
from the well. I read a commentary on this scene, and it may or may not be so, but he was trying to think of look at those women and say, which one will be a good one? That one seems hospitable. Those kinds of thoughts. So this is the exact prayer he prayed, wasn't it? Show me somebody that'll feed these, go to work. We'll help out around the house kind of thing. Feed the camels and the water and that sort of thing. But anyway, right away it happened. Okay. Who did Abraham marry after Sarah's death? Oh, well, yeah that's right. Okay, who did, that's right. Keturah, and they had several children. Okay, we made it through there. Number of sons born to Abraham and Keturah? How many? Six. Okay. Now, I tell you what. Let's not even try to get into Isaac and Rebekah at this point, because I've got 2.5 minutes left on this time to even open it. But we all understand what's going on this other handout. Russ is going to make the rest of that handout. It's going to be 7 pages. You can use that as an outline for next week's study, because I really want us to study closely and discuss really good discussions on Isaac and Rebecca and the things that they're going to do. Good. Great comment. Thank you for your attention.